Ozzy Osbourne, rest in peace. The man that I felt was indestructible. He'd been through some stuff in his life.
Sure had.
He put himself in some stuff too.
Yeah, he also same thing. That too. But Owen doing a little Ozzy tribute this morning. I love it. Of course, that's the thing now. Everyone's doing Ozzy tributes. Can we do tributes when people are still with us?
No.
No?
Why? Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just call.
Well, you asked for it. Why would you do it?
Just, you know, I just kind of feel like we show the most love when folks are no longer with us.
Yeah, well, we're not getting any new music from them now, so.
It's a fair point.
That is a fair point.
Ozzy's one of those guys that was like probably the first true person for me that I listened to his new stuff, or, you know, it was still coming out when I was a teenager that my dad could go, oh, I listened to that guy.
Yeah.
It's the first kind of crossover generationally for me, because I had listened to, you know, 70s rock.
Right.
But there was not, you know, there was no new Boston coming out that I was aware of anyway, right? So this was the first one where we were both able to
bond.
Yeah, to do that. And then I was like, we should go to Ozfest together. And that was not his idea of a good time. So we did not do that.
But I heard from second and third hand accounts, Ozfest definitely the place
I've been to Ozfest without my father, yeah, but it was a good time. Saw a lot of things.
I saw
a couple things a lot of times.
Learned a few things too, didn't you?
Yeah.
I kind of picked up on that you went without your dad. I did pick up on that. It's the Kent Carmen Show with Anthony Limadera, writer, and Danny Cunningham filling in. Want to touch on this. The Browns bought Myles Garrett's loyalty this offseason after spending the bulk of the early part of the offseason in Super Bowl week finding every camera and microphone and basically saying, hey, Browns don't know what they're doing. They can't win. I want to go somewhere and win at the highest level, compete at the highest level. I want my sacks to matter. I want to be put in a position to make plays when it matters the most. The Browns then said, hey, how's $40 million a year? Will that work for you? And Miles said, yeah, sure, I think I can be happy in Cleveland now for that kind of money. So as the old saying goes, with a big contract comes a lot of responsibility. Is Myles Garrett ready to step up? Listen, he's already the franchise sack leader. He's been an NFL defensive player of the year. This is what Miles said during mandatory minicamp.
I mean, I look forward to having my best season, for sure. I think it's trending that way. Feeling really good. I think everything's pointing in that direction. And I like, you know, where we are as a defense unit. It's really firing, really rolling. I think it's really clicking as far as the scheme and the plays, especially early on. That's big.
Over under for him, 12 and a half sacks there, Danny. But to me, it's not, for now, it's not about the sack total.
So what's it about for you if it's not about the sack total? Because I do think he'll go over 12 and a half sacks. I think he'll have a very good season on paper. And I think he's going to rack up the statistics because Myles Garrett is very good at doing that. And he is, I think, the best pass rusher in the NFL. So I expect him to, as he said, maybe have his best season yet as somebody who's in his physical prime. But if it's not about that for you, Daryl, what is it about?
I just think it's about the evolution of him as a leader. Because when you pay that kind of money, fair or not, and look, I have argued in the past that I honestly don't think Miles is a leader. And that's not, again, that's not a dig at him. I just don't think like that's his personality. I just think he is a guy who is always prepared to play no matter what. He goes out there. He does his job. He does his job at a high level. And he is not the rah-rah guy. He just goes out and just does what he's supposed to do. And you take in, it's similar to Joe Flacco, right? I'm not going to sit here and yell at you and berate you and scream at you and poke and prod you to do what you're supposed to do as a professional, okay? But what I will do is make sure that when I come in the building each and every day, I'm just going to do my thing. And whatever you absorb from that, that's leadership. But I also kind of feel like when you give him, after he does the 180 from get me out of here and get me out of here as quickly as possible to, oh, yeah, I'm going to have my best season. I really believe in the organization and the direction we're going in and this, that, and the other. After, again, just weeks earlier telling us how these folks don't know what they're doing and they're not going to win at the highest level and they're not going to put you in a position to get those 12.5-plus sacks in meaningful spots, right? Because your team is sub-500 every year, finishing in last place.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like that the onus now is on him to evolve into a leader. Fair or not, whether it fits his personality or not, I just feel the circumstances dictate now that he's got to take the bull by the horns and he really has to take the mantle of leadership with this, because it can't be the quarterback, right? They don't have that guy.
Yep.
Nick Chubb isn't here anymore.
Correct.
Can't be him.
Not that I necessarily even looked at him as a leader.
Again, he was a lead by example. Keep my, you know, I just keep my mouth shut, go out, do my job, right? This organization has suffered from inauthentic leadership, in my view, where they have team captains that shouldn't have been team captains. They have guys who have said that they're leaders that, well, I don't know that I would have those guys be leaders. And again, I'm not taking shots at people. It's just like leadership has to be authentic.
Yes, and that is the biggest thing with Miles, is that I don't think that he is an authentic leader, and that's fine because not everybody is. And I used to be in the camp that Miles Garrett needs to be a better leader, and he needs to, because of how good he is, which is not a debatable thing, he is one of the premier players in the NFL. You want that guy, ideally, to also be the face of your franchise, the voice in your locker room, the captain that deserves to be it, the one that the buck stops with him. But I've also, I think, come to the realization, Daryl, that if you fake those things, and I'm not saying that Miles is, because I don't think he has, but if you fake those things, that's actually worse than being not a leader. I would rather somebody not be a leader than somebody have the inauthentic leadership qualities that really could drag you down, because I do think that people in the locker room see right through that. And that, to me, like I said, is worse than not actually being a leader, is being a fake leader.
Like me, you've been in a variety of locker rooms over the years. How would you, I know how I would define it, but I want to ask you, how would you define leadership in a locker room?
So leadership to me, I do think has to be a vocal thing. I do. I don't view and I understand that not all leadership looks the same. But for me, I have always equated leadership with being vocal. And it doesn't have to be the in-your-face vocal type of leadership. I think there are different ways that you can be a vocal leader. But I do think, especially when you get to the pros, when you get to this level where everybody's great and nobody gets to this level without being great at what they do. You don't fake your way into the NFL, right? You don't fake your way into the NBA. So I do think that the whole leading by example thing doesn't necessarily make you a leader. Now, you can lead by example and be somebody that's very good and somebody that is certainly well-respected, but I don't look at you as like the team captain type of guy if you're a lead by example guy. You can be somebody that is respected, that guys look up to, but ultimately, things are going to get tough in every sport, for every team, no matter who you are, things are going to get tough. And that's when I think being vocal matters. And the Browns, I don't think right now, have that vocal leader. And I don't know the last time, I mean, I look at maybe Baker Mayfield as the last guy that they had that was like that. And I do think that is something that's missing. And I think if you're asking...
Oh, come on. You mean Jameis Winston giving the pregame rah-rah speech wasn't good enough for you last year?
It was funny. Those were funny. I enjoyed those, but that's not leadership to me. That is comedy to me, which James could have a great future in that if he chooses. But I look at this and say the Browns don't have the vocal leadership they need. Right. And if you're asking Miles Garrett to do that, you're asking him to be somebody who he very clearly is not. And I think asking somebody to be somebody they're not is a little bit worse.
This is what Jim Schwartz had to say during minicamp about Myles Garrett after everything that transpired this offseason, and now Garrett being paid to be back on board.
I really think Miles is going to have the best season of his career. Has to, right? I've told him before, what's that Spider-Man quote? With great power comes great responsibility, right? With the big contract, with the notoriety that came along with that, and the process that took to get him to that point. I mean, there's always pressure in this league, but probably a little bit more so.
So that's Jim Schwartz. We got to work on him with the superhero quotes. Get it to flow a little smoother.
Yeah, doesn't you know Miles is a Batman guy?
Clearly not. Let's sneak in Sean. He's on the road this morning. Sean, good morning. You're first up on the fan. How are you doing, bud?
Good, Darryl. How about you?
I'm doing all right, man.
So I almost agree with everything you're saying. So just because somebody is good at their job doesn't mean that they have to be a leader. Just because somebody gets paid a buttload of money does not mean that they have to be a leader. Myles Garrett is a great example of what a mentor is, right? He goes out there, does his job, he coaches up the younger talent, and he goes home at the end of the day. We did not pay Myles to be a leader. We paid Myles to be the defensive player of the year. That's how I feel about it anyways.
I don't think you're wrong, Sean. I look at this and say leadership is not something that you can fake. And I don't think Myles Garrett should be in the business of faking it. I think Myles Garrett's job is to go out there and, as Sean said, be the best defensive player in football. And I think he has done a pretty good job of doing that, Darryl. I don't think that you can look at anyone else in the NFL and say that guy's been a better defensive player than Myles Garrett by a wide margin over the last 5 years. I don't think somebody like that exists. Are there better leaders out there? Absolutely. I could point to a number of guys and say, yes, that person's a better leader than Myles. But in Miles' contract, they're not paying him $40 million to be a leader. They're paying him $40 million a year to be the best defensive end in football. And I think the chances of him doing that are pretty good.
Yeah, I just, when you're handing out the captain badges, because he's going to get one again this year. If, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but then I don't know if you can make him a captain. Because how Kevin Stefanski does the captain thing, it's voted on by the players. So it's a popularity contest. Deshaun Watson, voted team captain.
There's much more of an issue with that than Myles Garrett being a captain. Because I do think there's something to having your best player be a captain, which Myles Garrett far and away has been. So, like, I do think there's something to that.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, though, is being a team captain different from being a leader?
That's interesting. I think that you don't have to necessarily be the best leader to be a captain. I don't think that the best leaders are always captains, because I do think there is that element of it sometimes being a popularity contest. Now, in an ideal world, your leaders are your captains and your best players are your leaders, and therefore your best players are your captains too. And I look at this and say it would feel wrong if Myles Garrett's making $40 million a year and is the best player on the team by a wide margin and is not a captain. But I also feel wrong asking Myles Garrett, because this is not who he has shown to be from a personality standpoint. I feel wrong asking him to be the voice of this team too.
And that's what I struggle with.
What's the captain's job though, Darryl?
Lead stretching.
Okay.
Right.
Go out
for the coin.
To the ref during the game, right?
Go out for the coin toss.
Call heads or tails.
Yeah. I don't think you need, if you're looking at leaders, who's the real leaders on the defense? Who were the leaders on the defense last year? I'd say Rodney McLeod was more of a leader than Myles Garrett was. That's because he's a vocal guy who's trying to motivate his teammates through, his words, right? Yeah. He didn't need to wear the C for that. The same thing is he didn't need to go out and pick heads or tails, right? The captain is a representative of the group in a more formal setting. I think people get that misconstrued with leader a lot. There does need to be a leader. Denzel's probably the leader of the defense, right? As far as like the guy you're going to for the inspiration. But even then,
I don't know that they have a true guy that's stood
out. It's been Anthony Walker in the past, right? The 1 year contract guy.
Right.
It's been JOK until he got hurt, right? I don't know who the true leader is. We probably got to find that out. That's why we need a month and a half or 2 months of training camp, Darryl. figure out who the leaders are.